Chapter 50. Might be lost, but had, here and there, been rubbed up by the roots, which accounted for his loftiest developments being somewhat pimply. He had that order of nose on which the envy of mankind has bestowed the appellation snub, apostrophe, and it was very much turned up at the end, as with a lofty scorn. Upon the upper lip of this young gentleman were tokens of a sandy down, so very, very smooth and scant, that, though encouraged to the utmost, it looked more like a recent trace of gingerbread than the fair promise of a mustache. And this conjecture, his apparently tender age went far to strengthen. He was intent upon his work. Every time he snapped the great pair of scissors, he made a corresponding motion with his jaws, which gave him a very terrible appearance. Martin was not long in determining within himself that this must be Colonel Diver's son, the hope of the family, and future mainspring of the Rowdy Journal. Indeed, he had begun to say that he presumed this was the Colonel's little boy, and that it was very pleasant to see him playing at editor in all the guilelessness of childhood, when the Colonel proudly interposed and said, "My war correspondent, Sir Mr. Jefferson Brick." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Martin could not help starting at this unexpected announcement, and the consciousness of the irretrievable mistake he had nearly made. Mr. Brick seemed pleased with the sensation he produced upon the stranger, and shook hands with him, with an air of patronage designed to reassure him, and to let him know that there was no occasion to be frightened, for he, Brick, wouldn't hurt him. "You have heard of Jefferson Brick, I see, sir," apostrophe quoth the colonel, with a smile. "England has heard of Jefferson Brick. Europe has heard of Jefferson Brick. Let me see. When did you leave England, sir?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, 5 weeks ago, apostrophe," said Martin. "5 weeks ago, apostrophe," repeated the colonel, thoughtfully, as he took his seat upon the table and swung his legs. "Now let me ask you, sir, which of Mr. Brick's articles had become at that time the most obnoxious to the British Parliament and the Court of St. James?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, upon my word, apostrophe," said Martin, I have reason to know, sir," apostrophe interrupted the colonel, "that the aristocratic circles of your country quail before the name of Jefferson Brick. I should like to be informed, sir, from your lips, which of his sentiments has struck the deadliest blow, apostrophe, at the hundred heads of the hydra of corruption now groveling in the dust beneath the lance of reason, and spouting up to the universal arch above us its sanguinary gore, apostrophe," said Mr. Brick, putting on a little blue cloth cap with a glazed front, and quoting his last article. "The libation of freedom," Brick hinted the colonel. "Apostrophe must sometimes be quaffed in blood, colonel," apostrophe cried Brick. And when he said blood, apostrophe, he gave the great pair of scissors a sharp snap, as if they said blood too, and were quite of his opinion. This done, they both looked at Martin, pausing for a reply. "Upon my life," apostrophe said Martin, who had by this time quite recovered his usual coolness, "I can't give you any satisfactory information about it, for the truth is that I apostrophe, stop." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried the colonel, glancing sternly at his war correspondent, and giving his head one shake after every sentence. "That you never heard of Jefferson Brick, sir. That you never read Jefferson Brick, sir. That you never saw the Rowdy Journal, sir. That you never knew, sir, of its mighty influence upon the cabinets of Europe. Yes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that's what I was about to observe, certainly," apostrophe said Martin. "Keep cool, Jefferson," apostrophe said the colonel gravely. "Don't bust. Oh, you Europeans. After that, let's have a glass of wine." Apostrophe, so saying, he got down from the table, and produced, from a basket outside the door, a bottle of champagne, and three glasses. "Mr. Jefferson Brick, sir," apostrophe said the colonel, filling Martin's glass and his own, and pushing the bottle to that gentleman, "will give us a sentiment." "Apostrophe, well, sir," apostrophe apostrophe cried the war correspondent, since you have concluded to call upon me, I will respond. I will give you, sir, the rowdy journal and its brethren, the well of truth, whose waters are black from being composed of printer's ink, but are quite clear enough for my country to behold the shadow of her destiny reflected in. Apostrophe, here, here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the colonel, with great complacency. There are flowery components, sir, in the language of my friend? Apostrophe, apostrophe, very much so, indeed, apostrophe, said Martin. There is today's rowdy, sir, apostrophe, observed the colonel, handing him a paper. You'll find Jefferson Brick at his usual post in the van of human civilization and moral purity. Apostrophe, the colonel was by this time seated on the table again. Mr. Brick also took up a position on that same piece of furniture, and they fell to drinking pretty hard. They often looked at Martin as he read the paper, and then at each other. When he laid it down, which was not until they had finished a second bottle, the colonel asked him what he thought of it. Why, it's horribly personal, apostrophe, said Martin. The colonel seemed much flattered by this remark, and said he hoped it was. We are independent here, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Jefferson Brick. We do as we like. Apostrophe, if I may judge from this specimen, apostrophe, returned Martin, there must be a few thousands here, rather the reverse of independent, who do as they don't like. Apostrophe, well. They yield to the popular mind of the popular instructor, sir, apostrophe, said the colonel. They rile up, sometimes. But in general we have a hold upon our citizens, both in public and in private life, which is as much one of the ennobling institutions of our happy country as apostrophe, as nigger slavery itself, apostrophe, suggested Mr. Brick. Entirely so, apostrophe, remarked the colonel. Pray, apostrophe, said Martin, after some hesitation, may I venture to ask, with reference to a case I observe in this paper of yours, whether the popular instructor often deals in I am at a loss, to express it without giving you offense in forgery? In forged letters, for instance, apostrophe, he pursued, for the colonel was perfectly calm, and quite at his ease, solemnly purporting to have been written at recent periods by living men? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the colonel. It does, now and then. Apostrophe, and the popular instructed, what do they do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Martin. Buy 'em, said the colonel. Mr. Jefferson Brick expectorated and laughed, the former copiously, the latter approvingly. Buy 'em by hundreds of thousands, apostrophe, resumed the colonel. We are a smart people here, and can appreciate smartness. Apostrophe, is smartness American for forgery? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Martin. Well, apostrophe, apostrophe, said the colonel, I expect it's American for a good many things that you call by other names. But you can't help yourself in Europe. We can. Apostrophe, and do, sometimes, apostrophe, thought Martin. You help yourselves with very little ceremony to. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at all events, whatever name we choose to employ, apostrophe, said the colonel, stooping down to roll the third empty bottle into a corner after the other two. I suppose the art of forgery was not invented here, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I suppose not, apostrophe, replied Martin. Nor any other kind of smartness, I reckon? Apostrophe, apostrophe, invented. No, I presume not. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the colonel. Then we got it all from the old country, and the old country's to blame for it, and not the new one. There's an end of that. Now, if Mr. Jefferson Brick and you will be so good as to clear, I'll come out last, and lock the door. Apostrophe, rightly interpreting this as the signal for their departure, Martin walked downstairs after the war correspondent, who preceded him with great majesty. The colonel following, they left the rowdy journal office, and walked forth into the streets, Martin, feeling doubtful whether he ought to kick the colonel for having presumed to speak to him, or whether it came within the bounds of possibility that he and his establishment could be among the boasted usages of that regenerated land. It was clear that Colonel Diver, in the security of his strong position, and in his perfect understanding of the public sentiment, cared very little what Martin or anybody else thought about him. His high-spiced wares were made to sell, and they sold, and his thousands of readers could as rationally charge their delight in filth upon him, as a glutton can shift upon his cook the responsibility of his beastly excess. Nothing would have delighted the colonel more than to be told that no such man as he could walk in high success the streets of any other country in the world, for that would only have been a logical assurance to him of the correct adaptation of his labors to the prevailing taste, and of his being strictly and peculiarly a national feature of America. They walked a mile or more along a handsome street which the colonel said was called Broadway, and which Mr. Jefferson Brick said whipped the universe. Apostrophe turning, at length, into one of the numerous streets which branched from this main thoroughfare, they stopped before a rather mean-looking house with jalousie blinds to every window, a flight of steps before the green street door, a shining white ornament on the rails on either side like a petrified pineapple, polished, a little oblong plate of the same material over the knocker whereon the name of Pawkins was engraved, and four accidental pigs looking down the area. The colonel knocked at this house with the air of a man who lived there, and an Irish girl popped her head out of one of the top windows to see who it was. Pending her journey downstairs, the pigs were joined by two or three friends from the next street, in company with whom they lay down sociably in the gutter. Is the major indoors? ? Inquired the colonel, as he entered. Is it the master, sir? ? Returned the girl, with a hesitation which seemed to imply that they were rather flush of majors in that establishment. The master. ? Said Colonel Diver, stopping short and looking round at his war correspondent. Oh, the depressing institutions of that British Empire, Colonel. ? Said Jefferson Brick. Master. ? What's the matter with the word? ? Asked Martin. I should hope it was never heard in our country, sir. That's all. ? Said Jefferson Brick. Except when it is used by some degraded help, as new to the blessings of our form of government, as this help is. There are no masters here. ? All owners, are they? ? Said Martin. Mr. Jefferson Brick followed in the rowdy journal's footsteps without returning any answer. Martin took the same course, thinking as he went that perhaps the free and independent citizens, who in their moral elevation owned the colonel for their master, might render better homage to the goddess, Liberty, in nightly dreams upon the oven of a Russian serf. The colonel led the way into a room at the back of the house upon the ground floor, light, and of fair dimensions, but exquisitely uncomfortable, having nothing in it but the four cold white walls and ceiling, a mean carpet, a dreary waste of dining table reaching from end to end, and a bewildering collection of cane-bottomed chairs. In the further region of this banqueting hall was a stove, garnished on either side with a great brass spittoon, and shaped in itself like three little iron barrels set up on end in a fender, and joined together on the principle of the Siamese twins. Before it, swinging himself in a rocking chair, lounged a large gentleman with his hat on, who amused himself by spitting alternately into the spittoon on the right hand of the stove, and the spittoon on the left, and then working his way back again in the same order. A negro lad in a soiled white jacket was busily engaged in placing on the table two long rows of knives and forks, relieved at intervals by jugs of water. And as he traveled down one side of this festive board, he straightened with his dirty hands the dirtier cloth, which was all askew, and had not been removed since breakfast. The atmosphere of this room was rendered intensely hot and stifling by the stove, but being further flavored by a sickly gush of soup from the kitchen, and by such remote suggestions of tobacco as lingered within the brazen receptacles already mentioned, it became, to a stranger's senses, almost insupportable. The gentleman in the rocking chair having his back towards them, and being much engaged in his intellectual pastime, was not aware of their approach until the colonel, walking up to the stove, contributed his mite towards the support of the left-hand spittoon, just as the major, for it was the major, bore down upon it. Major Pawkins then reserved his fire, and looking upward, said, with a peculiar air of quiet weariness, like a man who had been up all night, an air which Martin had already observed both in the colonel and Mr. Jefferson Brick, "Well, colonel, here is a gentleman from England, major, the colonel replied, who has concluded to locate himself here, if the amount of compensation suits him. I am glad to see you, sir, observed the major, shaking hands with Martin, and not moving a muscle of his face. You are pretty bright, I hope? Never better, said Martin. You are never likely to be, returned the major. You will see the sunshine here. I think I remember to have seen it shine at home sometimes, said Martin, smiling. I think not, replied the major. He said so with a stoical indifference certainly, but still in a tone of firmness which admitted of no further dispute on that point. When he had thus settled the question, he put his hat a little on one side for the greater convenience of scratching his head, and saluted Mr. Jefferson Brick with a lazy nod. Major Pawkins, a gentleman of Pennsylvanian origin, was Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.